Hi everyone, this is Nellie. Thank you for tuning in today to my ministry, song, scripture, and my thoughts. Today is November 16th, 2022. Today's song recommendation is Healing Rain by Michael W. Smith. Today's scripture will be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. Today's message is titled, Wonders, Signs, and Miracles, The Burning Bush. The Lord has had it on my heart, really had it on my heart, that I need to come on and speak about His wonders and His signs and His miracles. So today, I'm going to be talking about the burning bush, and then I will keep coming on and giving you some additional wonders, signs, and miracles. I've already talked about the miracle of creation in a previous podcast that I titled The Creation and the Fall of Man, Part 1. And I wanted to add to that that I'd like everybody to read, and I believe I've mentioned this before, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 15, where it says in there that the Creator, which is Jesus, creates us in the womb. It's not the womb that creates us. It's not parents that create us, that form us in the womb. It's the Creator, our God, that puts our bones together, gives us a heart and lungs and kidneys and a liver and life's blood and eyes and ears and mouths and a tongue, etc. It's the God of the universe that continues to create in the womb of the female. In the womb of a female human or in a womb of a female ape, gorilla, deer, etc., etc. I had made some corrections regarding part one that I mentioned in the evolution theory that so many believe in. People, we do not come, and I said in my podcast, gorillas, the evolution theory is that we evolved from apes, and I mentioned gorilla. But we did not evolve from an ape. There are still apes to this day giving birth to baby apes, and these apes aren't turning into humans. As far back as you can remember in your family tree, is there an ape in there? Yes, God gives animals eyes, a nose, a mouth, a tongue, a heart, life's blood, etc., etc. But that doesn't make us that we are evolving from one another, from a human to an animal to a tree to a plant. Come on. No, we have unique DNA, each one of us. We have unique fingerprints, each one of us. Each created being that God creates in the womb is unique, unique, unique. I also, in that corrections podcast, I had said that I mentioned that John, the Apostle John, was beheaded. He was not beheaded. There's nothing recorded on the Apostle John's death. His last whereabouts was on the island of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. So coming down the pike, I will either republish the Creation and the Fall of Man Part 2, with an additional episode with some updates on that, because I do want to add more information to part two. So I'll either do it in two ways. Either I'll republish the same episode with another podcast on some additions. It's just a reflection on the podcast and some additions. And our corrections, if I feel there are any, if I've fumbled my words in any way. Or I just may do the entire part two and just redo it. So if you're one of the ones out there that listened to the creation and the Fallen Man part two, I apologize. I'm going to resubmit that. That's coming down the pike. Also, I did a podcast on Psalm 17, and there was just a lot of noise. And I apologize that there's always noise on my podcasts. I need better equipment, and I am working on that. But in the Psalm 17 that I published, there was I couldn't hear it, but it was picking up some fan, probably the air conditioner, that I just couldn't hear. But it was very, very loud. And so I published it and then listened to it and heard all the noise. And I had one person actually listen to it, and I apologize to you out there. I am going to republish it, noise and all, because I feel it was a very good message. So that's coming down the pike. Later on today, I will publish Psalm 17 again. And I know they haven't been very popular with my audience, these Psalms, but I do want to continue with them. But also I will be incorporating these messages on God's wonders, signs, and miracles. So I wanted to say that those two things are coming down the pike. And please forgive all my faults. I'm doing the best I can, and I do want to make an impact for God's people. I don't, and the creation and the fall of man are so, it's such an important topic that, and that's why part two needs to be, I need to take another listen to that to see, one, if I need to redo it altogether, or two, publish it again with an additional episode with some, with a reflection and some edits, corrections, or whatever I need to do with that. So look for those two things. In the meantime, I want to also say that the great I Am is Jesus Christ, because he says so. He is the great I Am. He was born 2,000 years ago. It's the same God that created in the beginning, the same God that continues to create in the womb. It's the same God that sends us his Holy Spirit to indwell in our hearts. He is very real. Everything that he said that he did, he did. Before he ascended back into heaven, he told the apostles, don't leave. I'm going to send you somebody even better than I, and he's going to send his Holy Spirit. Well, I do have a testimony on the Holy Spirit, and I touched on it just a little bit in a different podcast, but when I was really seeking the Lord, and I really wanted to get the gift of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and I was really, oh man, I wanted that gift, and I wanted to grow in my faith, and God heard my prayer, and he sent me, and I don't think he sent me his Holy Spirit, because I already had it, but he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it felt like fire going right into my heart, and it wasn't like this where it shot me down or anything. It was just a feeling of fire, and it was the Holy Spirit. It was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what I want to say in this testimony is, once upon a time when I was not with God, I knew of God because my mom had me in church, but I didn't want anything to do with pursuing who God was or anything, and never read my Bible, all of that. These were my rebellious years, and I was following the devil, because there are only two paths. You're either following God with your whole heart, or you're following the devil. And since I wasn't following God, I was following the devil. Well, in my rebellious years, there was one moment in time, not throughout my rebellious years, but one moment in time that I can always remember, because it was a wonder from God. He gave me, just out of nowhere, His peace that surpasses understanding, where I felt that there were no troubles in the world. I had a peace, an inner peace, an outer peace. I felt safe. I don't know how to explain that peace. If you've had it, you know what I'm talking about. It's a peace that we cannot bring onto ourselves. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural peace that can only come from the great I Am, the God of ages. And I had it for, I don't know, a minute. Enough time that to this day, I can still remember it as clear as day. And what He was telling me, even though I didn't deserve it, because I wasn't following Him, I don't know why He decided to give me this, other than that it's a testimony for today, that because I wasn't deserving by any means, but because He can see our future, and He knew that Nellie that was not living a life for God, but living a life of sin, was going to one day be the Nellie of today that is preaching and teaching His word. And it was such a gift for Him to give me that peace that surpasses understanding in that one moment in time. And He has given me that peace that surpasses understanding many times now in who I am today, the new creation, with God's blood flowing through my veins. He gave it to me when my sister passed in July. That's how I got through her death, from His peace, because I had, if you heard my podcast on my sister's death, there was a lot that could have totally knocked me down, knocked me from my faith, because I don't really want to get into it. That's going down a whole nother lane, but He gave me the peace that surpasses understanding. And this is why He gives us trials and tribulations and tests along the way, so we can get better grounded in our faith, where if we get something terrible that happens, like a death in the family, we don't blame God and walk away from God and start following the devil instead of following God, because that's essentially what we do. When we decide to leave God, we leave God. And that's what the devil wants. I was talking to someone the other day, and she was telling me that she knew somebody that had gone through a cancer. And she was a very religious person. She called her a religious person. And this cancer that this person received knocked her off of her faith. And now she's not a believer. This is what I fear for people, that this is why we need to get so grounded in our faith that nothing can knock us off of our... no amount of anything that the devil puts on us can ever get us to follow Him. Yikes. Follow the devil? No thanks. But this gal that was talking to me, she was recently diagnosed with a cancer. And she said she wasn't going to stray from her faith. And I was encouraging her not to, because she's had a lot of obstacles. Haven't we all? I have. I mean, shoot. It would be nice to live a life with nothing bothering us, you know, but that's just not the case. Until we go to our real home, which is heaven, that's where we won't have any more troubles, or when Jesus returns. And I feel it's sooner than later, guys. So, okay. it's time to get into the scripture. So yeah, that's my testimony, that God gave me that peace once upon a time when I wasn't deserving. It came out of nowhere. And now I know what he was doing. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, God, that you could have popped into my space to give me that, the peace that one day I was going to be in a better position, in a better place, in just happier, because I am that now, but I wasn't then. But he gave me that peace that, wow, I like I said, I really wanted to stay in that moment, because there is nothing else in receiving God's peace that surpasses understanding. Okay, so back to scripture. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses! And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Pause. When we turn to God, as it's saying here, that Moses saw something that was a miraculous sign, a miracle, there was a bush burning, but the bush wasn't burning. There was a fire, but the bush wasn't burning. It was a wondrous act of God. So Moses stops and he turns to God. God notices that he turned to God. And then he decided to interact with Moses, because Moses just could have walked on by. Who knows? A lot of people get a lot of nudges from God and they just walk on by. But Moses says, Here I am. And that's what we should all say when God calls us from the burning bush, calls us. We need to say, Here I am. Back in those days, though, because we didn't have the Holy Spirit indwell in our hearts, you couldn't just go into God's presence, because he's on holy ground. You had to take your shoes off, because anywhere around him is holy ground. So if you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in your heart, you're on holy ground. We have the God of ages living in our heart. That's a big thing. We don't have to remove our shoes. That's why Jesus Christ came down from heaven and was born and taught and was crucified for our sins, resurrected. He was buried, then resurrected on the third day. This is why he did that. So we didn't have the curtain, the barrier between us and God. We can now approach the throne of heaven because we have him living in our heart. And so then he, you know, and then Moses talks about that this is a marvelous sight. So this is something, guys, this burning bush where God is speaking from within it. And Moses got to hear his voice. And that is Jesus before he came down from heaven to be born of the Virgin Mary. This is before, because, and I'm going to read scripture, he is the I Am. So this is Jesus's voice. Then it says, he said also, this is God, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Pause. So he's telling Moses that he is the God of Moses' father. He is also the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Pause. If we are not born again, because the Creator, God the Creator, who creates us in the womb, can he not also create in us a new heart and be born of the whole, be born of him, the new creation? Of course he can do that. If he can create us in the womb, he can give us a new life, a new beginning, born again with Jesus' blood running through our veins. He sure can do that. He's God. And it's a transition. It's a belief. It's a faith. His face is still hidden from us, but we don't need to be afraid to come into God's presence because we are born again with his blood. We are adopted children to the God of ages. We are his adopted children. But Moses, he didn't have this new life, this born again life. So he hid his face and he was afraid to look at God. And that's where a lot of people are at right now. They're not ready for his return because they're still living in their sin. They're still following, like I said earlier, there's only two paths. So if you are not submitting your life to God, then you are on the wrong path. Listen, guys, we can't just add Jesus to our lives. We can't just say, Jesus is with me, I'm good. It's a commitment, guys. We have to submit our lives to him. We have to be submissive to him. And this is only done by really meaning the statement, the confession that you believe in him with your mind, heart, and soul, and that you want to follow him wholeheartedly. We're still going to mess up, of course, but we can't just add Jesus to ourselves. We cannot do that. He's not an add-on. It's me and Jesus today. Unless Jesus' spirit is really in you and you really are submitting your life to him. And when you are truly, wholeheartedly submitting your life to him and the Holy Spirit is sanctifying, then you're not going to be afraid. I'm not afraid when God returns. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be running to him. He's going to let us see him then. And we are, as believers, wholehearted believers in him, will not be afraid to look at God. But this is in Moses' day when there wasn't the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. There were still sacrifices being made, animal sacrifices. So let me continue reading till I get to verse 16 and then I'll give my thoughts. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Pause. I am going to pause there because in verse 7 he says, so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. So Jesus leaves heaven and he comes down. God comes down because he's heard the cry of the Israelites. So this is what he did for us 2,000 years ago. He came down only that time to be the sacrifice once for all, to save us from Satan's power. And the land he's bringing us into one day, he brings us into his heaven, our heavenly home, or when he comes back, we live with him in the new earth. But that will be our land flowing with milk and honey. But back then, he says, I have come down. That's so important. That's so important. And even though Moses couldn't see his face and was afraid to look at him, and that's why he's nothing but fire in the bush. That was it. The burning bush, the voice came from the burning bush, and this is Jesus. So then he says, now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I'm going to pause right there because he says right there in that verse, he says, God, in verse 14, God said to Moses, who is God? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And when we get to the book of John, Jesus is saying that the Father and him are one. He is the I am. So this is God, guys. This is God. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. Pause. So the Lord, the God of your fathers, is the one that is speaking here. The Lord, the God of, he is our God. He is the God of Jacob. He is the God of Isaac and Abraham. He is the God of Moses. He is our God. So I like to add my name to this God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Nelly, because he is my God. And if you've accepted him wholeheartedly, he's your God. So that is his memorial name to all generations, even up to our generation and beyond. I did a podcast on the name of God, and one of his names is I Am and the Lord God. So we just need to really hear him and that this is Jesus. So let's go over to hear Jesus's words now. So we just heard a conversation between Moses and Jesus before he is born of the Virgin Mary. And now we're going to hear Jesus the incarnate Jesus speaking. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 48 through 59 says this. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God." Pause. So, Jesus' father, because now he's born, right? He prays also to his father. And the Jews are claiming that he is also their God, but they're not believing in Jesus, who is God. So this is Jesus just saying, let me reread what he says. "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. If it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Pause. Abraham, he stood next to Jesus when Jesus was contemplating whether or not he should destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God was standing right next to Abraham, and Abraham convinces him to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find, I can't remember if it's 5 or 7 righteous people, or maybe 10 righteous people. Anyway, he didn't find enough righteous people, but he did pull Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, and Lot's wife, and their 2 daughters out of Sodom. And he saved those 4. But oddly enough, when we talked about when Moses turned to God and God noticed that he turned, Lot's wife, she turns back the other direction. She turns back to her life. Even though she was being saved and they were being warned, these cities are going to be destroyed, she turned back because they were warned to not look back, to keep going. But yet Lot's wife looked back and she got turned into a pillar of salt. And that should be an example for us, because we're not going to be turned into a pillar of salt. But if we turn back to our lives and decide that we'd rather live in this sinful life and not follow God, it's to our own destruction. So Jesus is saying that Abraham saw it, saw him, and he was glad. He was very, very glad. And so then it says that this is the Jews that say this. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now, these Jews were of the religion Judaism. They did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They refuse to believe it to this day. So those are going towards the devil instead of towards God, because the only way, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and only through Jesus can we ever, ever get to heaven. So they Here Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Isn't that just wonderful? And Abraham, before Abraham was born, Jesus Christ, he created in the beginning. And he continues to create us. I have a granddaughter that's currently pregnant. So God has created a human being in her womb. And we just have to stand in awe of who God is. We really just need to stand in awe of who he is. More and more happening in the world, it never ends. So I will again publish Psalm 17. I apologize for the noise that's involved in that podcast. Please know that one day we might be the ones that are living in David's shoes. So these psalms will come to mind if that happens. I, again, will publish part 2 of The Creation and the Fall of Man. I don't know which direction I'm going to go in that, as I said in the beginning. The song, again, is Healing Rain by Michael W. Smith. I hope that you listen to the song. I apologize for any technical difficulties that I had on this podcast or any of the noise. And again, if I fumbled any of my words, I'm sorry. I, as usual, am very tired. And I hope that you continue to pray for me, that I get more stamina. I hope everybody is having a good day. Oh my goodness, we're almost coming into Thanksgiving already. I'll go ahead and end here. All the glory to God. I give all the glory to God. Much love to all. Until next time. Bye.